Joining us now, he is a Lifetime Achievement Award winner in journalism back in 2015, and he's writing for Golf Digest and Golf World. He's Ron Sirek. Ron, welcome into the Golf Shop.
Hey, thanks for having me on. My pleasure.
All right. Well, you know, I want to start, you know, earlier this week, we got to see that Tiger Woods is going to be playing in his tournament in the Bahamas. I guess a committee of one gave him a sponsor's exemption. Are we ready for this? Is he ready for this?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. This story just never gets old. You know, it was so... you don't know, and this is why it doesn't get old. In a lot of ways, I found the demise of Tiger Woods just as compelling as the rise of Tiger Woods, because you don't know what to expect. I've seen him do so many amazing things in the 20-some years that I've been covering him that if he were to go out and play lights out, play great, it wouldn't surprise me. But at the same time, we've seen him struggle for so long. I mean, who would have thought that we'd be more than 9 years since his last major championship?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you feel about it in terms of what you want to see, but for me, I'm almost at the point now where I just want to see the guy actually be able to play four rounds of golf. For me, he doesn't even have to win anymore, but it's almost like I want to see him at least be somewhat competitive. And if this is it, I want to see him kind of go out in his own terms and kind of maybe have a little bit of that farewell tour. I know that's not the perception that he probably wants to have him of himself, but I at least want to see him be able to play golf and not hurt.
Yeah, I don't want to see him. You know, I didn't like it when he had the chipping yips, you know, and it was just, I didn't want to see it. I kept thinking, I remember when the best baseball player I ever saw was Willie Mays, and I remember him as 42 years old playing center field for the New York Mets and falling down in the outfield. You know, I don't want to see that. I want to remember Willie Mays as Willie Mays. And I want to remember Tiger Woods as Tiger Woods. And I do think that the public needs to do Tiger a service and just realize that no 41-year-old athlete, 42-year-old athlete now, ever becomes 24 years old again. You know, that's not going to happen. Time doesn't go backwards. And we're not going to see what we're never going to see again what we saw in the year 2000. That was golf played on an unbelievably high level, and he's not going to get there. But what makes his coming back compelling is we don't know what we're going to see. And to me, one of the questions will be, how long will Tiger Woods be willing to be just another guy out there? You know, he spent his whole life being the top dog, being number one. And if he can be number 17 in the world, would he be happy being 17 in the world? I'm not sure he would.
Well, and I think the other thing that we got to remember, too, is, you know, the old Tiger, the unbeatable Tiger, was the guy that had all this ability to be able to go out and practice. The newer Tiger hasn't had the physical capability to go out and practice 4 or 5 hours a day and be able to groove that swing. And I think that's the difference. And for me, that's what it comes down to, is that if his body can sustain his practice regimen on the golf course, the heck with the lifting and all that stuff, if he can sustain the practice on the golf course and on the range, then that's what's going to make him successful. If he can't do that, then I don't even know if we'll be 17 in the world.
Well, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head there, that he got hit with a perfect storm of issues, physical, technical, mental, emotional. You know, I mean, his body was breaking down, his confidence broke down, his technique broke down, just all that happened at the same time. And here's another thing that's going to be a problem for him coming back. You know, I saw 2000, 2004, in that period in there, Tiger Woods psychologically destroy an entire generation of players. And I'd put Sergio Garcia in that group and Ernie Els and some other ones that he just got inside their head. They all knew if he had his A game, they could not beat him. There's a young group of players out there right now who are really, really, really good, the Daniel Bergers and Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth and Jason Day and Rory McIlroy, who've never really seen Tiger Woods at his best. So they're not afraid of him. And so he's not going out there with that intimidation factor that he had before. And he's going up against a group of players who are young and confident and extremely talented.
Again, Ron Sirek from Golf Digest joining us. And Ron, you had an interesting article that came out about the revealing nomadic lives of LPGA caddies. Now, I'm going to preface this by the fact that, you know, and we've talked to several some Metro Tour players and some LPGA Tour players in this show before. And for me, the difficulty in shifting from the Symetra Tour to the LPGA Tour, when you get your card, when you're one of those that get the card or you get through Q School, for me, the biggest jump that they have to make is this schedule that takes the LPGA all over the world. I mean, from a travel logistic and money spent standpoint of getting from event to event on the LPGA Tour, to me, it makes the PGA Tour look like it's your local mini tour.
Yeah, exactly. You know, when I talk to some LPGA caddies about that, and some of the veterans who've been out there for 25, 30 years, and you know, when they first started out there, they'd put 50,000 miles a year on their car, driving from tournament to tournament. There were four tournaments in Ohio. You know, there was a swing. There were three tournaments in New York, a couple in New Jersey. You do a swing through there. And now, instead of putting 50,000 miles on their car, they're getting 75,000 miles in frequent flyer miles, you know, on airlines. You know, the tour right now is doing their Asia swing, and it is a grueling, exhausting schedule out there. The other thing that's changed, and this is true for caddies, not just in the LPGA, but everywhere, is it's become more of a 7 day a week job. Because players practice more than they ever did, and they want the caddy out there with them when they're practicing. You know, it used to be that Monday was a travel day, Tuesday would be sort of a day off, Wednesday would be pro-am day, and then you'd start the tournament on Thursday. Now, caddies and players get the tournaments on Sunday night, maybe Monday morning, and they're right out there working beginning on Monday.
What's the most interesting thing that you found out about these caddies? Maybe things that they do, or maybe some of the things that the players do that in this story.
Well, you know, I went and I hung out with a group of eight caddies for three tournaments, and they would rent a house together to save money. It was cheaper than them all getting their own hotel rooms. So they'd rent a house for the week. They'd go to Costco early in the week, lay in their food and their booze for the week, you know, and they would share rental cars. There'd be eight of them. They could probably get away with three rental cars. And you know, you'd be out to dinner with them, and the pairings would come out, and they'd quickly look at the pairings and see who had a morning tea time, who had an afternoon tea time, so they could coordinate which cars they were going to go in. So there was really... particularly on the LPGA, and remember, LPGA players play for one-fifth the prize money that PGA Tour players play for. So if your player in the LPGA is not in the top 20, it's tough for you to be making a living out there. So they have this sort of hand-to-mouth existence. And the other thing is, caddies become, they're more than porters out there now. They're psychologists, they're cartologists. They're mathematicians, they do all these different things to try to keep their player mentally engaged in the game. I think their jobs are not fully appreciated as much as they should be. A great caddy is really, really worth a lot to a player. And you look at some of the best players, when they find a caddy that they want, they keep them for a long time.
And talking to these caddies, how does this work? I mean, obviously on the PGA Tour, you know, for the most part, you've got a guy with a guy caddy. Out on the LPGA Tour, you've got women, you've got young girls, you know, that could be 17, 18 years old, all the way up to, you know, your Christy Kurz and your Julie Engsters, the elder stateswomen on the tour, if you will. I mean, how do these guys handle some of those responsibilities that may come with caddying for a female?
Yeah, there's two real complications to get in there, and one is just, as you said, the gender thing, and and caddies will tell you. You talk to caddies who've worked on both the men's tour and the women's tour, and you ask them what's the difference, and one of the first things that they say is, oh, the women can hold a grudge a whole lot longer than the men. You know, if they get kicked off at you, they don't let it go quite as quickly. So that two guys. Caddying for a guy, they can have a verbal disagreement on a tee, and by the time they get to the second shot, it's forgotten, and that's not always true on the LPGA. And the other thing is, because so many players come out on the women's tour so young, so many teenagers out there, you're dealing with parents a lot, and a lot of times that's a problem. A lot more caddies have been fired, not by the player, but by mom or dad. And that's way more of an issue on the women's tour than it is in the men's tour.
Yeah, well, were any of these eight dealing with that? I mean, having to deal with the parents and you know, I mean, I'm not going to get putting anybody in a bad situation, but I mean...
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I played with him and his player in a pro-am, and I thought they got along great, and like 3 weeks later, he was fired, you know? And, wow. And sometimes there's not even really an explanation. It's just a lot of times the player goes out and has a couple of bad tournaments in a row, and then mom or dad decides it's the caddy's fault. It's never the player's fault, you know? It's so they get rid of the caddy, and they make a change, and things like that happen all the time.
Again, Ron Cyrak from Golf Digest joins us, and you're an insider in terms of the tours and the golf, and you know I'm in the media as well, but I do it more from a perspective. I might get the Wells Fargo Championship or Greensboro or a couple tournaments close by me in a year, and get to go talk to some players and whatnot. But how over your career has covered golf changed in terms of how the media handles things?
Well, you know, the biggest thing that's changed is social media. You know, I mean that wasn't there. I mean, geez, laptops were barely there when I first started doing this. You know, but social media has changed so much. When I was the early days of Tiger Woods. I broke a lot of Tiger Woods stories, because I was tight with people in his camp. I was tight with his agent. I'd get stuff and I'd get scoops to them. And then Tiger Woods created his own website, and all of a sudden I wasn't getting those scoops anymore because he was releasing that information on his website. So that changed. And then, the whole social media thing is just, the number of players I've seen get in trouble by saying things that they probably, if they had reflected a little bit more, wouldn't have said. I've seen that happen many, many, many times, and that's a huge change. The other thing is there's just fewer full-time golf writers out there than there used to be. When I first started on this beat, there were probably 3 or 4 dozen newspapers that had full-time golf writers out there. And when you have beat writers, you develop a relationship with the players, and they learn to trust you. And that makes, the better you know a player, the better you can write about them. And there's a lot more distance now between the players and the writers than there used to be. The top players now travel on private jets. They don't stay in hotels. They'll rent a house the week of the tournament. So you have less interaction with them. When I was first out there, you'd run into a player at the hotel bar because you were staying at the same in the same hotel. And, you'd have a drink with them, and you'd talk, and you'd get to know them, and you get to trust each other. And there's a far greater distance now between the media and the players.
I mean, do you like social media? I know you're a frequent user. I mean, do you use it kind of because you have to, or do you like being able to push things out to people to get them to read more? I mean, there's obviously advantages and disadvantages.
Absolutely. I use it as a way to promote my columns, and I'll do links on a day. Say you get a news event like Tiger Woods announces that he's going to come back, and I'll make a comment about that on social media. And what I have become, though, I have a really good rule. I'm very, very disciplined. If somebody objects to something that I've said, and it's a reasonable objection, I'll make one attempt to explain myself. Then I'm out. I'm not going to get into a back and forth on Twitter, about something, because you can't have a reasonable discussion in 140 characters. And I think that's a trap people fall into. And I'll get people who will troll me all the time, where they'll try to lure me into, I'll say, oh boy, really exciting that Tiger Woods is coming back. And they'll come out there like, what do you care about him for? He's all washed up, you know, and they'll try to draw me into that sort of thing. And you got to be disciplined and not fall into that trap.
True.
Say what you want to say. Use social media in the way that you want to use it, but don't let people draw you into having these fights with them in public.
Well, Ron, really appreciate you jumping on with us. I know we're going to catch up with you in a couple more weeks when the LPGA Championship final event rolls around, so we'll talk to you then.
Talk to you then, and thanks for having me on. My pleasure.